Hi guys, thanks for this episode of the Nick Egan Times. On this episode, we have an awesome guest. We have Brent Hatley. Brent has his own show on Twitch called The Brent Hatley Show, which has been doing incredible things. Brent has previously worked on the Howard Stern Show as a producer for 6 years and has done amazing things in the radio industry. Welcome, Brent, and thanks for coming on my podcast.
Hey, Nick, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you. Now, you're in Australia right now, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Tell me about the pandemic and how that's affected you.
So I just got over a really bad case of COVID. I was between vaccination shots. I was between Pfizer shots and I got it. And I was in really bad shape. I was in really, really bad shape, close to going to the hospital. And it was about a 2.5-3 week sickness. And it was the worst pain I've ever been in, the most uncomfortable I've ever been, the sickest I've ever been. It was really, really, really bad. And here in Florida right now, it's bad. It's really bad. So we don't have many restrictions because of politics. Politics, unfortunately, in the United States has overtaken science, which is, I know it's very odd to people outside the United States. When you talk to your friends in Europe and now talking to you in Australia, it's just really weird how politics has overridden science in the United States, but it really has to the point where I think we're less than 10% ICU beds left in the state of Florida now. So, and children are getting it. The Delta variant is children are getting it here. So it's really, really bad. And then we have a governor that's going to not allow school districts to have mask mandates for children. So it's a bad situation that I think is, and I'm afraid is going to get much worse.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We're in lockdown down here in Sydney. We have been for 2 months since the Delta variant hit here. So yeah, it's I totally agree with you. The politics of it's just the same down here. Like, it's very political, and everyone's just very divided and has their own opinions, and it's just all over the place at the moment.
Yeah, you know, they kind of call that, there's a lot of people that have their own opinion, and you can have your own opinion, but like, if I need my car fixed, I'm taking it to a car mechanic. I'm not taking it to a guy that just has an opinion about what's wrong with it. It's really weird to not trust the people. You know, doctors go to 12 years of school in the United States, and then they have a residency, and people that are virologists and all this stuff. And when I was growing up in the 80s, it was not like this. And now we have people, it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. People think that they're experts about things that they're not an expert in. And I tend to want to listen to the doctors and the scientists on this stuff. And I do have questions for them, and they're happy that, you know, they'll answer the best you can, but I'm not trained in this. So my politics, I don't think should come into this at all. I mean, this is a public health issue and a very serious one at that.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. It's put back life at the moment. We can't do things that, well, especially down here, we can't do things that we could previously do. So yeah, it's had a massive impact. And just to get out of it, he's obviously just listened to the doctors and the medical scientists to make sure it happens and we just get out of this quicker.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, people thinking that they know more than doctors. And I've just never seen anything like this in my life. And it's every conversation, just about, no matter what the topic is, it's poisoned with this weird politics.
Right, and it's the times we're in. All right, let's just jump straight into it.
Okay.
Tell me about your family, your life growing up, and how, I guess, your career begun.
Okay. I was born in the state of Mississippi in Florida in the 70s, 1971, actually. And my mom got me out of there because the world was changing from where they were, in a very conservative Christian state. And I grew up mainly in right here in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is the Tampa Bay area. And I grew up knowing that I wanted to be a broadcaster in a sense. Like, I would go down on Saturdays and I would announce the football games. And I was way a heavy music user into, you know, the AC/DC and Iron Maiden and all that stuff growing up. I was really into radio and I really, really loved it. So I then joined the Marine Corps after college because I was not disciplined enough to go to college at that point. I was just too wild. But the Marine Corps really took that wild energy and helped me channel it into something positive. And I started taking college courses in radio and then working as an intern at a radio station in California. And then once I got out of the Marines, I came to Tampa, Florida, and I got a job at 98 Rock. And from there, It's been almost a 30-year radio career from there. So it's been a really interesting life and a fantastic life. It's been unique, and it's been a strange journey, and it's never been stranger than it is now. So
that's incredible. Tell me about you obviously worked with Bubba and the Howard Stern show. Talk to me about those specifically.
So they're two very different guys. So they're both very, very nice guys to deal with. But being on Bubba's show was kind of like being in Motley Crue for 13 years. It was the girls backstage, the pills, the marijuana, the going on tour, the everything that you would imagine that Motley Crue did. Imagine how Bon Scott partied when he was in AC/DC. That's kind of what being on Bubba's show was like every single day. Howard's show was way more buttoned up. Howard's show was like being on tour with the Rolling Stones. Like everything was precise, and it's a machine. It is a fine-tuned machine, and it kind of reflects those two guys. Like Bubba is kind of an avant-garde guy that's going to be spontaneous, and he doesn't want too many things scripted and planned out, and he wants things to kind of unfold. And Howard is more of a guy that wants things buttoned up and kind of to know where you're going with your bits and stuff, which both have value, and they were both fun radio to do, but they were fantastic. But both of those shows were lots and lots of fun. But they just approach it in very different ways.
Sure. What are some of the highlights of it too that you can recall?
Oh my gosh. Well, with Bubba, there's a couple of things. So number one, in 2001, we decided to do a bit called Bubba's Roadkill Barbecue. So we were having people scrape up a roadkill off the side of the highway and bring it in. And I had one of these big grills that you would pull on behind a truck. That's how big this grill was. And we were grilling roadkill, and I was having them, the listeners, eat the roadkill for Marilyn Manson tickets.
And, oh my
God. Well, it gets worse. So one listener shows up. It's a hunter. And me being a kid from Mississippi and the swamps of Florida, I had hunted wild hogs because they are not native to this area. Like they were brought here by the Spanish way back in the day. So they could be used as a food source, but they don't have natural enemies. So they exploded in this area. So this guy brought a wild hog here, and he drew and quartered the hog. Well, we ate it. We grilled it. We ate it, which goes on every weekend here in Florida. Well, because we did it on the radio, the animal rights people went crazy. We ended up getting arrested. And a year later, Bubba and I went to trial for felony animal cruelty. The jury ended up saying not guilty, because this kind of thing goes on every single weekend in Florida. And the hog was killed exactly the way it's prescribed by law. I mean, I didn't do it. Two professional hunters did it, but I supervised them. This is something that I've been around my whole life. It's kind of a hillbilly redneck, and I knew it wasn't against the law, but we talk about poison politics, like for political reasons, we got arrested, but the jury saw it our way. So that's one highlight. The other highlight is in 2004, the Janet Jackson, we were on Bubba's show, the Janet Jackson Super Bowl incident. Well, the week before that, we had been fined $755,000 for being indecent on the radio. So then the Janet Jackson thing happens, the wardrobe malfunction, they called it. Right. That happens. and we get fired for that. And then because we get fired, Howard Stern notices us. And he is leaving terrestrial radio to go to Sirius XM. And he needs a show to put on his channels. So Bubba and I reached out to his agent, Don Buchwald, great guy. And we went and met with him. And then Howard came and met with us. And they ended up hiring us to do afternoons for 5 years on Howard's channel on Sirius XM, which was incredible. It was amazing. And we went from a regular terrestrial radio audience to this huge worldwide satellite radio audience. And it was amazing. And then with Howard's show, gosh, I was there for 6.5 years, and there was lots and lots of highlights, but it was the most fun was getting on with my wife and talking about our alternative lifestyle on the Howard Stern show. And the reason I wanted to do that was I wanted to give people a little bit of a different perspective. Like I'm an atheist, and I think that the church and religion has had too much to do with human sexuality. And we can see with in your country and in our country, like the Catholic Church has had plenty of scandals. So I don't think that they should be dictating our sexuality to us anymore, since they've gotten it wrong so many times. So I wanted to push back on that. But man, people are really dug in about how they feel about sex and sexuality, and especially women expressing their sexuality. People get really upset about that. But it made for great radio. It made for 2018 and 2019. It made for really fantastic radio, which I'm very proud of. And it caused people to think, caused people to laugh. It caused people to really re-examine their own sex lives. I've gotten easily over a couple of hundred messages of people saying, hey, I started talking about this with my spouse and maybe we're not going to do it, but it got us to an honest place in our marriage and our sex life. So those are the kind of bits that I really like, the ones that can entertain, they can inform, and also get you to think about things and how you're looking at the world. I really like to challenge people to look at the world in a different way than they normally do.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's amazing that you can share that and obviously give other people perspectives too of obviously your lifestyle. Be specific too, I guess, obviously your swingers and that side of things too, I've seen. Has that caused any issues like for your relationship?
Actually, the opposite. It's made our relationship much better because my wife knows every thought that's in my head, sexual or otherwise. And I feel I've never felt more comfortable sharing everything with her. So there's nothing that I'm hiding from her. So that's a whole bunch of stress that's not in my head. Also, you know, as a sexual being like we are, you know, I do want to experience lots of different things, and having her there and experiencing it with me is fantastic. It's a bonding experience for us. You know, and that's why I tell people we're here bonding, doing this type of thing together. And our relationship's never been better. It really hasn't. The communication level is what really changes when you get into this type of lifestyle. It's your communication with your wife just goes to such a high level. And the honesty about what's in your head and what's in your heart just makes things so de-stressing. So it's done the opposite. It hasn't really caused problems. It's caused us to get closer.
That's fabulous. Well done. All right. Tell me about your Twitch show and your Twitch being on that platform and how that's, I guess, come about and how it's transpired.
So I really do like Twitch, and I'm taking a bit of a sabbatical right now for a couple of months because it's been almost 30 years and I kind of just need a break. But I really do like Twitch a lot. The only problem that I have with Twitch is their rules are vague. Like I don't know if you're familiar with the rules of terrestrial radio in America, but the rules are so vague and gray. It's such a gray area that it's tough sometimes. Like sometimes you get suspended, you don't really know what you did. And then when you find out what you did, you're like, I didn't even know that was against the rules. So that said, it really is a fantastic platform because you can really do anything on there. You can do music. You can do a talk show like I do. You can do video games. There's just all types of things that you can do on there. And it's a fantastic platform. But once Amazon got involved, it's just the rules were a little tough. But I love the platform. I love the fact that people can tip you live while you're doing your show. And I love the fact that you can like sell your merchandise on there or everything. It's kind of one-stop shopping. So it's hard not to do it. But like I said, I'm taking a break for a few months and I'll get back to it. But on Monday nights, I do Miserable Men with Shuley, who was on the Stern Show with me. And we do that on Patreon, however you say it.
Yeah. Tell me. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Tell me about your wife, Caitlin, and obviously OnlyFans and that side of things. Talk to me about that.
So Caitlin is, she's a ball of fire. So she really loves OnlyFans. I find that some of the girls that I meet through OnlyFans are really have disdain for their fans. Caitlin really actually does like her fans. She talks to them all the time. She puts up a daily post and she loves the interaction. She loves being naked. She loves showing off her body. She loves expressing her sexuality. And like she is built, man. She is built. I like you know, the women that have that are a little more athletic. The volleyball, she was a state champion volleyball player. So I like the volleyball player look. It's just incredible. But on top of all that, she's just a wonderful, nice person that really does care about people. she just enjoys expressing her sexuality and sharing it with people. And OnlyFans has never been better. Like, we, you know, just getting over COVID, we had lost some subscribers because we were down for a couple of weeks. But as of today, we're back to where we were before we were sick, and people seem to be happy with it, and they seem to be enjoying seeing her nude. So you can't ask for more. It's a lot of fun.
Do you have much to do with the, I guess, the OnlyFans in the background of what she's posting and stuff?
Oh yeah. I edit the video. So I shoot the video and I'll edit the video. Also with some of our friends who also they're couples and the wife is on OnlyFans. I'll also be in the videos on OnlyFans with some of the other girls. Cause nobody wants to see, your Caitlin with her husband, but they do want to see the other girls with somebody other than their husband. So we kind of do each other favors and we're in the videos with each other. So I do jump into the videos with some other girls and I shoot and edit the video for Caitlin.
That's awesome. What has given longevity to your relationship, do you believe?
I think is what does it is, I am more in love with her every day. And the reason is we talk about absolutely everything. There's nothing I don't feel like I can't talk to her about. And, I've been married before and I've had other relationships, and I've never had this where I felt comfortable with somebody, because I'm an introvert. So it's very hard for me to open up and share with people. So opening up and sharing with somebody and being able to share everything with her has made me feel really close to her. And it's just, I never thought I could be this happy being married, because I know lots of guys, I just turned 50 years old. I've got lots of friends, big group of friends, and most of my guy friends are not happy being married. And that's kind of how it is for a lot of guys, but not for me. I'm really super happy. I never thought I could be this happy being married, but I really, really am because of the communication.
That's incredible. And I guess tell me about going back to your career. What's some of the best advice you received?
So some of the best advice I've received was from a couple of people. One was a guy named Brad Harden. He is the guy that actually, he's in charge of all the programming for iHeartRadio right now. So that's a huge company. I think they've even got stations in Australia, right?
They do. Sure. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So the guy that's in charge of all their programming was my program director here in Tampa. And what he would tell me in my career was, you need to engage the audience, and people need to be talking about your show at the water cooler every day while they're at work. And they need to not want to miss the show because they're on the edge of their seats because of what you're going to do next. And whatever that is, whatever you're going to do next, that's up to you. You concentrate on doing great things, because before he got there, all of us were like, oh, the music, we need to play this song and that song. And he's like, no, you guys don't worry about the music. I got that. I'm the program director. You worry about doing great things between the records. And that was some of the best advice I ever got. It completely changed my mindset. I was like, oh yeah, like, it's not my job to program the music. That's somebody else's gig. My job, what I'm being paid to do, is do great things on the air. So that's the best advice I got, was to do great things on the air and don't worry about the music, because that's not your job. And once I changed my mindset to that, the sky was the limit.
Awesome. And tell me, where do you see the industry going moving forward? Like, obviously from where you started to now, where do you see it headed?
Oh my gosh. It's, you know, I was just with Bubba the other day and we were talking about this, and it's really, really bad. It's like everyone, like Brad and Howard and lots of people that shared their radio philosophy with me. It seems to me like everybody's abandoned it, because our thing was, you know, like I said, do great things between the records. Let's entertain the audience. Let's wow the audience. Has gone completely away for, I'm going to do the safest thing possible so I don't lose my job. And that's not the attitude that we ever took. The attitude that we always took was, we're going to do great things. And if we lose our job, then somebody else will hire us because we're that good. And that was our mentality. And that mentality is completely gone. And they're scared of the Twitter mob. They're scared of people complaining to corporate America about them, because then they will lose their job. And that's the most disappointing thing, because in America, still 93 million people a week listen to terrestrial radio, and there's nothing on it. it blows my mind that these program directors don't understand you have this real estate here. You have this audience, because in America, lots of people drive to their job. So they're captivated in the car. You've got this real estate. You've got this audience in the morning and the afternoon captivated in their car. And you want to give them nonsense. You want to give them beige vanilla radio that's not entertaining. I don't know. I just have a commitment to the art that I just think has completely left the industry. And where it's really going is people like Joe Rogan and people like yourself that do your own show that don't have a program director that's scared of losing their jobs over their heads. Excuse me. That is, hang on 1 second. So that's where the industry's going, and it's just terrible. It's not the mentality to have, because when you have the I'm scared mentality, the great art is not going to happen for you. The great art happens for you when what's in your mind is, man, I'm picturing this guy that's the truck driver out there who's gear jamming, we're the one thing that's keeping him company in his truck while he's driving, and I want to entertain that guy. That thought's completely out of their mind, and it's more to, I need to be safe. So I think the radio industry is going to a place where they're going to be obsolete, and it's going to be their own fault, because podcasters and people that do Twitch and people that do Facebook Live, or I mean, even Twitter's adding this feature where you can do a live show. People that do that and do innovative things are the ones that are going to get the audience. And I think that's where we're going. And when we get the portability issues really resolved in the car, which we're close, then it's going to be really bad for terrestrial radio. And I think they're going to be obsolete, and I think it's their fault.
Yeah. The technology's just changed the whole base too. Like, everyone's had to adapt, and the market, podcasts have just gone ballistic. As you said, Twitch, YouTube, everything. Like, there's just so many different avenues and channels now. So
it's going to be about great content. And here's the other thing with terrestrial radio is, what they could do and what they should do, if I could wave a magic wand, I would tell terrestrial radio program directors, you need to be in your local market. In your local market, you need to be wired into that community. You need to be part of the fabric of that community. And that's something that a guy on YouTube can't do. A guy on YouTube can't go be part of Tampa or Sydney and get really entwined into that market. And that's really what our success, when I was on 98 Rock, that was where our success came from. We were intertwined as part of the Tampa Bay community. That's why we were the number one radio station. And you can still do that. And that's something that can't be replicated by national platforms. But instead, terrestrial radio is trying to compete with YouTube and Twitch and national platforms instead of doing something that they can't do. And no matter who you tell this to, they refuse to listen to it.
Yeah, right. What inspires you daily too? What's your motivation?
My motivation is getting up every day, and I've got a project, a film and TV project that I'm working on. I've got a book. I've got 300 pages written. I've got about 10 more chapters to write. It's my art. It's my love of art, whether it's writing, whether it's producing, whether it's editing film. It's getting to be creative every day. And if I lost that ability to get to be creative every day, I would be depressed. And having some kind of creative outlet every day, that's what drives me. I really am true to the art, whatever art form I'm doing. And I try to do the best that I can to stay true to that art form. So it's expressing myself through various artistic endeavors and being married to an awesome woman. So other than that, I don't need much more.
That's marvelous. And what are your hobbies or passions aside from everything that you're doing? What do you like to do in your downtime?
I kind of work out, and we go to a there's this resort here in Florida that we go to called Secrets, and it is a place that like you walk into this bubble where there's almost no rules. You're there for 3 days, 2-3 days usually. And it's hard to leave because you're in this place where there's no rules and no judgment, and you're hanging out with just the nicest people in the world, and you forget the ills of the world. So I really like doing that. And I also love hard rock and heavy metal music. So we go to lots and lots of concerts when we can, and they're about to start coming back. September 11th, I think, is We've got Judas Priest, and then Lamb of God is the next week. So I'm really into to music, and I'm really into going places with people where there's a no judgment zone and no rules. And there's a couple of places in Florida like that.
That's awesome. That place Secret sounds good. So you can do whatever you want in that place. You can
pretty much, pretty much. Wow. I mean, there's very few rules. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. And the people there are like the guests there and the staff there are so nice. And it's just a nice step out of the stress and the anger that everybody has. And it's just, everybody's got a smile on their face and everybody's having a good time. And it's pretty awesome.
Amazing. If you actually, how do you see the United States, not getting too politically, how do you see the United States heading into the future? Like, what, how do you see the future of the United States going?
Well, unfortunately, it's not going well, because we have both sides are, and I'm not on either side. So, but both sides have gotten to the extremes, have pushed each other to this corner of the extremes where politics has gotten really toxic. Now, I grew up in a house where it was mixed between Republicans and Democrats, and we used to have these big, I grew up with these big discussions, and then we all went and had dinner together and laughed. That doesn't happen anymore. This vitriol and hatred that's going on in the United States, it's turned from a shared psychosis into a mass psychosis. And this mass psychosis of vitriol and hate is not good, because it's corrupting people to their core. And the anger, like you're seeing now, school board meetings. I saw today a video just south of Fort Myers, just south of here, people attacking a doctor coming out of a school board meeting, like fist fighting a doctor who was just giving his opinion on what we should do with the kids in school. I've never seen such a thing. It is insane. These people are out of their minds. I saw there was a vaccine site in Georgia today, and anti-vax people shut down three of these sites. They destroyed three of these sites and stopped people who wanted vaccines from getting vaccines. Now, you can't say that that's my freedom, because now I'm telling you who wants to get a vaccine that you can't, because I'm going to shut the site down. It is the vitriol and the hate has gotten to a level in America, and it's getting worse. It's almost like when you get into to hardcore heavy metal or hardcore rap, you have to keep going to deeper and deeper and deeper into it. I think that even some of the people that they really liked, who were vitriolic and hateful, are not enough. Now, I think they're looking for people that are even crazier than that. And I think that it's going to keep going to a bad point. I think January 6th, what happened here, is not the end of it. I think there's going to be more domestic terrorist attacks here in the United States. And I think it's going to get really, really bad, because we're in the midst of a demographic shift. And other people, women, minorities, transgender people, gay people, are getting a seat at the table. And some people are really violently angry about that. And I don't see it going quite well. I think there's going to be a lot of violence and unrest in the United States going forward.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's crazy times we're in.
It really is. And I just don't understand this anger and hatred for people. That's something that I can't understand, because I can talk to people. I can talk to anybody. You have a different opinion than me. That's fine. Like, I really enjoy the back and forth and discussion. I really enjoy hearing what someone else thinks. And I understand that everybody's not going to think the same as me, and I don't hate you for it. I have conservative friends. I have liberal friends. I can go to a concert with them. I can go have a good time with them, have some drinks, have a discussion. But that just isn't the case in a lot of places in America these days. I just don't think that's a healthy place for us to be. And I really don't think it's healthy to start saying that elections were fixed and rigged and all this stuff with absolutely zero proof. In fact, there's plenty of proof to the opposite, that it was a safe and secure election in 2020. And now people can just say, oh, it was stolen, with no proof, and millions of people believe that. It is nutty to me what's going on in the United States. And I think it's going to get worse. I've talked with, like, where am I going to go if this gets really bad? can I come to Australia?
Yeah, you're always welcome. Zealand? Yeah, you're coming down. You're coming down. Oh, that's too funny. Thanks for sharing that. And that's great insights. If you were 18 again and you could change anything, what would you change?
If I was what again?
If you were 18 again, and you could change anything, what would you change?
Okay. So the biggest mistake I ever made in my life was when I was that age. I was being recruited by the, in the United States, I was being recruited by the Air Force. And I went and took my physical for the Air Force, and I took a test for the Air Force. And this is 1989. So in 1989, I qualified to be a computer programmer in the United States Air Force. And they were going to train me to be a computer programmer in the United States Air Force. But the Marine recruiters saw me, and they challenged my manhood. They challenged, because I was a football player, and they challenged my manhood. They said, oh, well, you can't make it through Marine Corps boot camp. I was like, well, I can make it through Marine Corps boot camp, but not even thinking that the world is going towards computers. Like, I didn't, you know, 89, I didn't have a computer. Yeah. World is going towards computers. Learn how to program computers in 1989. I'm not sitting here. I'm probably pretty rich at this point. So yeah. Instead, I joined the Marine Corps, and I wound up in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and out in the desert fighting. And I was not trained on computer programming. So I think that was a huge mistake at 18, but not that I would change anything, because I do love my life now, but had I done that, I would probably be a pretty wealthy guy right now.
Did being in the Air Force or that side of things change you as well at all? Like, did that?
Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps. I was really wild and out of control, and they really taught me how to take that energy and focus it and channel it into one direction. And once I learned how to do that, it changed my life. So number one, I'm always on time. Number to work, to everything. Number two, once I get there, you might as well put forth 110% effort. That's the other thing that's just an intangible that you take away. And number three is, you know, you care about your coworkers and you pick them up and you learn to work as a team. So those three things have stuck with me my entire life, is being on time, doing your best job, and then respect and help your teammates and your coworkers.
Beautiful. Brent, thanks for coming on my podcast. I do appreciate it. You've done amazing in your career and you're still doing amazing things now. I really respect your opinions, and yeah, you're on a strong trajectory in life, and that momentum just keeps going.
Thanks, Nick. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I want to come back. I've got a film and TV project I'm working on, and when that's getting ready to be released, it's very exciting. I want to come back on and talk to you about it.
Yeah, 100%. I can't wait. I'm excited to hear about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, Nick.
Thanks, mate. Take care.